This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Carrie Goldberg.
The film The Monuments Men opens across the country today. It's based on the true story of the Monuments, Fine Arts, and Archives section of the military, a group of American soldiers who worked to protect and recover cultural artifacts and art from the Nazis during World War II.
George Clooney directs and stars in the film along with Matt Damon. Here's a brief scene from The Monuments Men.
Time to put a team together and do our best to protect buildings, bridges, and art before the Nazis destroy everything.
How many men?
Six.
Jesus.
Well, with you at seven.
That's much better.
So you want to go into a war zone with some architects and artists and tell our boys what they can and cannot blow up.
That's right.
That's right. George Clooney's character is based on George Stout, who was a prominent lecturer and conservator at Harvard's Fogg Museum before the war. After the war, he directed the Worcester Art Museum and later the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston.
And joining us now to talk a bit about George Stout and his involvement in both World War II and Boston's art scene is Gianfranco Poccobene. He's head of conservation at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. And great to have you. Thanks for coming in, Gianfranco Poccobene.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about what George Stout's impact on art conservation was in Boston before World War II. What do we know about him?
Well, he was a pretty reticent guy. Didn't talk too much about what he did, but his impact obviously in the war was significant. But in terms of the conservation community and what he did for the museums in the area and worldwide is really significant. He, he began at Harvard in the late 20s, got his graduate degree, and shortly thereafter he was enlisted to basically head the lab that was formed by Edward Forbes and Paul Sachs, who were the directors there. And really what they were looking at was sort of trying to understand why, for example, works of art were degrading, falling apart, what could be done to arrest these problems. These objects came from Europe, which was a very stable climate. They came to North America with central heating, and so there were all sorts of problems. They were also interested in understanding the materials and how these methods might help artists do a better job of creating works of art. They saw a gap between the kind of doing the art but actually understanding the materials and how you use them.
And I gather he really helped sort of make Boston almost a hub for art conservation in America, right?
That's right. At the Fogg in the early 30s, he started working with a chemist, was hired by the name of Rutherford Gettens. And then also Alan Burroughs joined the team, and he actually specialized in X-radiography of taking X-rays of paintings and objects. And he actually took this portable X-ray machine even to Europe, and the Fogg has this incredible collection of X-rays from that period. But what happened then is that he started collaborating with all sorts of other people in the area, but he started working specifically at the Gardner 3 days a week in 1934 when a lab that was formally established.
I see. So tell us how or what we know about how he initially got involved in the war, which leads us to this story upon which this movie, The Monuments Men, is based. But how did he get involved in the war?
Well, I suspect that because he was such an influential character before the war, aside from doing actual conservation treatments on a lot of important objects at the Fogg and at the Gardner Museum, he obviously got a reputation and was a significant character in formalizing training in conservation and how to handle these works of art. So I think he was seen as a likely leader amongst a lot of other people who also came from the area and America and Great Britain to go and salvage these works of art.
Interesting. Now, I imagine that art conservation could be seen as somewhat technical, but I understand that Stout purveyed this idea that you have to really understand the art that you're recovering. So tell us more about that. How did that factor into the art that he recovered during the war, that way of looking at art?
Well, the in terms of the conservation world, before the formalization of the discipline of conservation, you got your training by being an apprentice.
Yeah.
So you just worked in a gallery you even worked in museums, but there was no formal training in the sense of really trying to understand what was going on with these objects. So he and his colleagues, established this course, and they read these courses and teaching, and they basically taught a lot of people who went off into other museum settings and formalized the ways of looking at art. And that meant not just from a chemical point of view or a historical point of view, but also looking at aesthetics, looking at the material makeup, why is this falling apart, really considering a broad range of sort of issues and ideas and notions about how we should interpret a work of art. It's not just historical. It's not just artistic. There's a science to these materials. So it's a very broad, holistic kind of approach that he was looking at these things. And that's what we do today also.
I see. Now, were the Monuments Men, as he became known, were they put in any life-threatening situation as they worked to protect the masterpieces of Europe? Do we know that?
Well, they, as far as I understand, I read the book a long time ago, so you have to forgive me. But they entered the war towards the end of the battles and everything.
Sure.
And what was raging on in Europe. But I'm pretty sure there were dangerous situations. But really at that point, as I understand it, they were really more in the recovery mode. They'd find these mines full of stashes of works of art. I guess there were almost close to 5 million works of art and objects that had been looted. I think, I don't know how dangerous it was, but, anything could have happened.
I haven't yet seen this movie. I understand you haven't seen it either, but I gather that it sort of depicts the Monuments Men as a kind of small squadron of guys led by George Clooney and Matt Damon types and sort of going off into perilous situations. But my understanding is they actually didn't sort of work together as a unit, that they were sort of scattered throughout Europe.
Yes, and Hollywood gets to, sort of...
There's
liberty.
Hollywood-type license. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. In fact, there are hundreds of these Monuments Men, working throughout Europe to recover this stuff. When you think of the sheer number of objects they were trying to recover, so yeah, they're making it look like it's Ocean's 12 or 11 or whatever it is, but not really.
But sort of a nice idea that these efforts are being popularized in some way. I mean, what's your point of view? About this.
Yeah, my thought is that Stout. And we have some audio recordings of him. He seems like a very sort of laid-back, kind of calm, quiet kind of person and not somebody who was publicity-seeking or looking for attention. And most conservators are like that. We're behind the scenes. We're in our labs or, our studios working on things, and we're not really looking for that. We're actually getting a great thrill of working on the objects. That's what, makes it really exciting for us. So I guess anything that does popularize it or makes people aware of the fact that these objects are very fragile and we need to take care of them is a good thing.
Mm. Were the efforts of these Monuments Men widely known in Boston, in America at the time, or did this kind of work sort of fly under the radar?
I think for the most part it flew under the radar until Edsel's book came out and the other great book that came out was The Rape of Europa, and there was the documentary that was done on that. They didn't really brag about it much. I mean, they weren't those kinds of characters. They were scholars, art historians, conservators, architects. They were just doing their duty, and I think it was pretty quiet. They just came back from the war and resumed their lives.
So tell us a little bit about how the science of art conservation, both then and now, has improved thanks to modern technology. How has it improved your capabilities?
Well, it's improved tremendously. They would be, I think, quite in awe of what we're capable of doing now in terms of understanding what we're getting ourselves into, but they really set the groundwork for doing that. The idea that they decided they needed to start having chemists and analyzing these objects and doing X-rays is a really incredible thing. And we've just that was a great foundation, and we built on that. And for example, now at the Gardner, although we're not unique in this sense, if you go to the FOG or the MFA. They also have these great pieces of equipment, analytical equipment that, we can do X-rays, we can do infrared imaging to see what's under paint and underdrawings that might be there. We can analyze elements in the paint or an object without actually taking a sample and damaging it. All sorts of capabilities, which really gives us a greater understanding of what we're getting into before we proceed with the treatment. Because once you start, you want to make sure that you're, as best as you can, doing the appropriate work.
I was struck just this morning. NPR ran a piece about how much of Syria's cultural heritage is being lost because of the civil war there. Lots of art and artifacts are being looted, and I'm wondering if as an art conservator, if you to what extent you worry about that kind of tragedy as we survey the sort of landscape of modern warfare today.
Well, it is frightening. But we have to remember that even before World War II, looting's been going on a long time.
Right.
And if go back to Napoleon and, other wars that raged in Europe and other parts of the world, it's unfortunately been a sort of a situation that we've always been in. And I guess, you know, looting is one thing. It's when you get destruction and you know, permanent loss of something that's it's really, really unfortunate. But it is frightening when you see these scenes of things going wrong in other countries.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious, are you looking forward to seeing this film, The Monuments Men? Is it something that is...
Yeah, I think so. I'll be
What will you be looking for in it?
Well, I hope it's entertaining, and I hope it, you know, I hope it as you alluded to before, gives some awareness to the issue of, you know, art and how unique and rare and how much we need to take, you know, be cognizant of how important it is to us.
Well, that's Gianfranco Poccobene. Gianfranco, thanks so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
And he's the head of conservation at the Isabella Stewart Garden Museum. He was telling us about George Stout, of Boston, the inspiration for the film The Monuments Men, which opens today. You can find more information about all of this, including a trailer to the film, at radioboston.org.
And Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station.
Our show is produced by Amory Sievertson, Dina Rosendorf, Alex Kingsbury, Emma Jean Weinstein, and Kathleen McNerney. We had help this week from Jamie Bologna.
Tim Skoog is our technical director. I'm Carrie Goldberg.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Have a great weekend. Join us again Monday for more Radio Boston.